All right, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 8. Matthew 4, 8. Continuing the temptation of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. And we'll go through 11. While you're not busy, go ahead, Laura.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell everybody, thank you for praying for Tommy. He's doing well, and his PSA is zero.
Oh, wow. That's great. Defeat it now. Amen. All right, amen, amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All right, we'll finish this one up this morning and talk about the lust of the eyes. But let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for a good report from Tommy, doctors. Lord, I lift up this time together with you and with the folks, with our folks, Lord, with brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit to get what we need from you. Pray we'd be able to learn from your words. I pray you'd fill the teachers in the back with your Holy Spirit to be able to minister your words to the kids. And Lord, those that have been invited would come. And if anybody comes that's not saved, I pray today'd be the day of their salvation. And Lord, as we remember the Lord's Supper today and Father, try to examine our own lives in light of the body of Christ. I pray that you'd help us to do that. And again, thank you for this opportunity, this privilege to be in the ministry. And really, truly, as Christians, we're all in the ministry in some way. And I pray that you'd help us identify and serve in the capacity you'd have us to serve. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last temptation. So temptations, just a little recap. First one is turn the stone into bread when Jesus Christ is starving. And devil tells him, why don't you just turn the stone to bread? There's no reason not to turn stone into bread. And the Lord says, it's man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he takes him to the high point in the temple and tells him to jump off. He says, all right, if you want to use the Bible, here's a verse. And shows him, or tells him, Psalms 91, verses 12 and 13, and cuts out a little bit of it. And says, you know, if you jump off, you can prove who you are, and the angels will bear you up. So why don't you just do that? And Jesus says, you can't tempt, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then comes to this one, and the devil takes him up, the Bible says, to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of him, and says, I'll give you all this if you'll fall down and worship me. And so that's the last, at least in this series here, in this series of temptations in the wilderness, the last temptation, he went lust of the flesh, pride of life, and now lust of the eyes. And the idea is this. The devil's going to frame the world in the way that he wants to frame it in order to get something out of Jesus Christ, in order to get service out of Jesus Christ that would otherwise go to God. And it's going to be such a common temptation. I hope by the end of this we'll all see in our lives how often and how regularly this happens. It is like a commercial. You see a commercial, the devil shows him a picture and says, and he doesn't show him the graveyards, he doesn't show him the hospitals. What he does is he shows the parties and he shows everybody happy and playing and sliding down the water slides and all that kind of stuff. And he shows them the palaces and he shows them all these things. And he says, look, I'll give you all these things because the devil is the god of this world. I'll give you all these things in exchange for your service to me. You know, if God, your father, is going to treat you like this, let me be your father and I'll show you this is how I'll treat you. And of course, he shows him the glory of the kingdoms. He doesn't show him the bad part of the kingdoms. He just shows him the great part. It's just exactly like a sales pitch, a commercial you would see on TV. And he just shows him this stuff, and we'll go through it. So here's how this thing works. All right, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of him. So the devil's going to give Jesus Christ his own perspective. The devil's going to give Jesus Christ the devil's perspective on the world, at least the perspective he wants Jesus Christ to see. And so he's going to give him that perspective. He shows him great architecture, you know, like the Taj Mahal, the Windsor Palace, the skyscrapers, the Vanderbilt Mansion. I mean, he shows him all this stuff, and he says, "Listen, if you'll just give me a part of your life, I'll give you this in exchange." Now, here's how this plays out in our lives. Make a real quick, immediate application here. You say, what's bad about the Taj Mahal, or what's bad about the Vanderbilt Mansion, or what's bad about the Palace of Versailles? What's bad about all that stuff? There's nothing bad about any of that stuff. What's bad is in the deal that has to be made to get that stuff. There's nothing bad in itself about owning property or having land or anything. It's bad when it says, listen, I'll give you this if you just give me 30 years of your life. I will give you this property if you'll just give me 30 years of your life. And you say, well, it's good to have some property and all that stuff. Okay, that's good. Then he takes him and shows him entertainment. Takes him to the Colosseum in Rome and the fans cheering and all that kind of stuff. People yelling and Super Bowl and World Series and all those things and Hollywood and the glitz and the glamour and all the mansions and everything. And he says, listen, I'll give you this. I'll give you this if you just exchange some of your life for me. And you know, what's bad about entertainment? What's bad about any of that stuff? There's nothing bad in itself. What's bad is in the exchange you have to make for it. All right, so you get your kids. You want to play, they want to play football or baseball or something like that. And there's nothing bad about playing these things. There's nothing bad about entertainment. But then the devil says, oh yeah, that's great. You want to do that? You want to be entertained? You want to enjoy yourself? That's great. We've got a spot for you on the team. I'm just going to need your Sundays. I'm just going to need your Wednesdays. I'm just going to need your mouth. I'm just going to need your door knocking. I'm just going to need this. You understand? And so as he picks apart your life, one thing at a time, what will happen in the end is you find you have nothing to serve God with anymore. He's got 30 years here. He's got 5 years here. Now he's got your Sundays. Now he's got your Wednesdays. Now he's got your mouth. Now he's got your kids' minds. Now he's got this. Now he's got your bank account. And before you know it, the opportunity shows up. Hey, let's support a missionary. Oh, wait, I can't. I don't have any money to do that. Why? Well, it's all tied up. I just exchanged things in this world, for service in this world, and everything I could have used to serve God with, now the devil owns it. You say, well, how does that look like devil worship? There's no pentagrams or anything. No, the devil is the god of this world, and he wants you invested in his system so that you cannot invest in God's work. That's what all he's trying to do. Get you fully invested, and he just chips away, chips away, chips away, chips away, chips away. So here he is with Jesus Christ. Shows him entertainment. Shows him a sizzling steak and a barbecue. Great place to eat. Shows him all the food and the seafood and Cajun food and, you know, whatever. French cuisine, whatever. I like Cajun stuff and fried food and stuff like that. But he shows him all that and he says, listen, I'll give you all this. I'm just going to need your health. I'm just going to need your energy. I'm just going to need your testimony. Yeah, exactly. And so he just says, I'm going to need this and I'm going to need that. What you say, what's bad about enjoying? There's nothing bad about enjoying a meal. What's bad is the deal that has to be made in order to get to this point. And so it's not a here, I'm going to wholly go off and serve the devil. No one thinks that. No, I mean, maybe a few people think that, but nobody thinks that. And so when it's interesting, I'll show you a verse when Paul explains it about the Gentiles, what the Gentiles have done with their lives, and they don't think they've done it. You and I, as Gentiles, wouldn't say we've done things like this. All right. Then he shows them, all right, the food. He shows them the skyscrapers, the architecture, the Taj Mahal, the Palace of Versailles. He shows them the entertainment, the Colosseum, the fans yelling, the kids going down the water slide. He shows them all this glory of this stuff. And he says, all I need is this piece of your life. Just this piece of your life. And all right, then he shows him the, I don't know, you guys are more up on cars and trucks than I don't know. Aston Martins and Testarossas and the, whatever the new trucks are, you know, the what? A Raptor, whatever the newest trucks are, King Ranch edition stuff, and shows him all this stuff, all the glory of all that, and it gives him a little commercial of it, and he says, now you can have this. I'm just gonna need 5 years of your life, and I'm gonna need you to work overtime, and it's gonna cost you a little bit here, and you're not going to be able to serve God as much as you want to, but it'll be okay. I mean, you'll still be able to really serve God. I mean, just don't think of it that way. He would never pitch it that way, you know. But by the time he's stolen everything and got you fully invested in the world, you don't have anything left to give. There's no time. There's no bank account. He's eat up the whole thing. He's consumed the whole thing, and you're fully invested in the world. And you would never say, "Well, I serve the devil." But that's exactly what he's got you invested in, is his system. So you cannot now be free to serve God anymore. All right. So he shows them all that. So you say, "What's wrong with vehicles?" There's nothing wrong with vehicles. What's wrong with the whole thing is what you have to give up in order to get this stuff. That's why Jesus Christ said, if you're not willing to give up this and give up this and bear your own cross and follow me, there's no way you can follow me. Because all of these things will be required at some point. All right, so he shows him all that. He shows, I mean, if it's a lady, I mean, I don't know, handbags, purses, I don't know. Shoes. What's a Vera Bradley? Is that the new one? Or is that old? That's old now? All right. Whatever the new shoes are. Shows her the shoes. Shows her the Italian leather furniture. Shows her the whatever. I mean, the high luxury glory of the kingdoms. And says, look, you know, you can have this. You can have this, and you just kind of hide the cost away. You can have this. This can be yours. And you just kind of hide the cost away, not knowing that to get this, it's going to take another 5 years of your life. It's going to take, however much money it's going to take. The point is, he just chips away, chips away, chips away. And Christians now, I mean, we have our own definition of serving God. When Paul looked at the Gentiles, what he said was they sacrificed to devils. The Gentiles would never say they sacrificed to devils. That's not what they believe. That's not what we would believe. Let me show you something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And how does he accomplish this? He puts some images in someone's head. Puts the pictures out there. Let me frame the world from the perspective I want you to see. Let me show you the good part. Let me show you what I can give you. And kind of hide the cost of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All right, you wouldn't think that what you're doing, investing the investments in the world were investments of sacrifices you're making to devils, or people that wouldn't think that. People wouldn't believe that. If Paul shows up in the middle of, and he did multiple times, and showed up in the middle of the Gentiles and told them they're worshiping devils. Nobody believe. In fact, they're all offended that he would even think such a thing. But the reality is that the spirit of this world runs this world in a way that he wants to run it. His goal, I'll show you that in a minute, but his goal was to get glory from God. And if he can steal that glory by showing some images, here's a commercial, you can get the new thing, you can get this new thing, you can get this new thing, and then kind of hide the cost so that when the opportunity arises to serve God, you don't have any way to serve God anymore. There's no way to do what God would like you to do. You just think of it. By the time he's done, you've mortgaged 30 years, 5 years, Wednesdays, Sundays, time with the Lord, time with family. You've mortgaged all of that stuff. You've given it all away in exchange for some things that you saw with your eyes. And he gave you the picture of it. He gave you the commercial of it. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, I want that. Not thinking, all of the time, I'm racking up cost and cost and cost and cost and cost against my ability to serve God now. And so when the opportunity arises, here, I'll show you a couple of verses. Well, just this one. Look in Nehemiah chapter 5 real quick. Nehemiah chapter 5. Showing it to you this way because people have the idea that devil worship has to do with pentagrams and sacrifice goats and stuff like that. And maybe some part of it does and all that. But ultimately it has to do with investing and sacrificing what God's given you into a system the devil created for you. Nehemiah chapter 5, what's that? Yeah, I'm talking about people's idea of devil worship. It comes from Hollywood.
Right, indirectly, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, you give of yourself so that you cannot serve God. Now, you don't think of it that way at the time, but when the time comes around to serve God, you can't serve Him. All right, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 4. Says, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them. We want to get them out of the situation they're in, but we don't have any ability anymore. We have fully invested our abilities into this world that the devil operates, the devil influences, and I'm making an application here. This is the Jews in captivity. And when it came time to redeem the kids and set them free and all that, the moms and the dads said, we don't have any way to do this. We're all invested. All of our stuff has been taken in captivity. All of our stuff has been given to the king here, and so we are fully invested in his work. And you know, well, let's keep reading. He says this. He says, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. We are debtors now, and you know. Well, he said, the point is, when it came time and the opportunity presented itself for redemption to happen, for service to God, I'm applying it to service to God, and redemption is a word there. When it came time, the people had no ability to do what they were supposed to do. And the reason is they're fully invested in this world. There's now, obviously, they had it taken away. We have it taken away willingly. The devil shows you pictures. Here's a commercial. Here's a commercial. Here's a commercial. Yeah, I like that. 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 Yeah, give me that. Give me two of those. Give me three of those. Give me four of those. I'll take a couple of those. And before you know it, the whole thing's eat up. Look at now. How does he do it? How does he do it? I think you understand how he did it. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. It seems like a verse we go to regularly, but it explains so much about what's going on. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2. It says, wherein in time past ye walked, now watch how he words this, ye walked according to the course of this world. All right, so you were just in line with this world. The things the world was doing, you're a part of that. You walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that's how the devil operates. It's not pentagrams and goat sacrifices. I mean, yeah, that stuff can happen in shadows and things like that. We're talking about real practical stuff that happens with people every day on a regular basis and with Christians on a regular basis. You walk according to the course of this world, which is also according to the prince of the power of the air, which is also the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. All of those things are in line, working in the same direction, moving on a certain course, acting a certain way, making decisions a certain way, and you invest in that course, and you throw yourself wholly into that course, and you find out that course does not allow people to serve God. It will not allow you to serve God. All right, so here's what Jesus Christ said. You guys know this verse in Matthew 16. You don't have to look at it. He said this. He said, "For what is man profited? What is man profited if he shall gain the whole world?" The devil shows him the glory of everything. What is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But I mean, the world looks good. I mean, the things going on are great and all that. Yeah, there's nothing innately bad about some of the things the devil offers. The bad part of it is the exchange you have to make to get it. What is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So you could have the whole world. You could have everything your heart desires. Actually, you could not have everything your heart desires, because you'll always want more. There'll never be an end to the want. People don't get everything they want because they always want. And so if you live according to that way of life, your time, your money, your opportunities to serve the Lord will be completely invested in this world and will be eat up by the devil until there's nothing left to serve God with. And so here's the devil, back to Jesus Christ. He shows him all the glory. He doesn't show him the graveyards. He doesn't show him the hospitals. He shows him the great palaces. He shows him the land. He shows him the tractors mowing the fruitful fields with the sun in the background, and the people partying and having a great time, and the kids going down the water slide and everybody laughing and having a good time. He says, "Look, I'll give you all this if you just serve me." What's bad about it? Nothing's bad about that stuff. What's bad is what it costs you to get it. Jesus Christ says, "Listen, just wait. You'll get all this stuff if you serve God. It just won't happen now. Just wait. Invest in eternal things so that when you do get these things, they will last." All right, so that's the devil's perspective. He gives Jesus Christ his perspective on the world. What's he up to? What's the deal? Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the same thing he's up to with sinners, with people, with Christians, with anybody. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. All right, 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He is a consumer. He wants to consume. He wants to eat up any and every bit of your resources so that your resources will be wholly invested in him. The alternative is you could invest the resources into what God's doing, but the devil would rather eat up those resources and invest them in the course of this world and the things of this world. All right, so what's the devil up to? Well, he's consuming, he's eating up, he's trying to devour the resources, devour the people, devour any opportunity souls have to serve the living God. He is trying to devour that up to get glory for himself. Here's why. Look in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. This is what he believes about things. All right, Ezekiel 28, verse 13. The devil is after worship that is due God. Ezekiel 28, verse 13. It says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's talking about the devil. So the devil is, if you imagine, I mean, the devil is decked out in jewels. He's got all the jewels on, all the precious stones on. He's decked out in that stuff. His voice, he's got, the Bible says, pipes and tabrets. He's got a voice that nobody could match. His singing voice is incredible. He is just an incredible beauty to look at. Just Hollywood, I mean, movie star. He's got all the value, jewels, all that stuff. Then verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Here's what he did. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Took a look in the mirror, said, you know what, I am something. I am something. What I am is really incredible. Thine heart was lifted up, verse 17, because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. So he was wise in the things of God until he started thinking so highly of himself. Everything became about getting glory from God, and everything became about him now. He said, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So he looked at himself. The devil's philosophy on life is he is special. He is important because of how he looks, because of the things he's been given. He is an impressive individual. And so because of those things, he is due worship that was otherwise due to God. And so he goes about to steal that worship and to conduct things in a way on this earth. He stole the kingdoms of this world from Adam. He stole that through the devil. I mean, there was no pentagrams. There was none of that stuff going on in the garden. It was, hey, why don't you eat this fruit? Meaning, you've got a father, but I can be your father if you'll eat this fruit. I want you to know things. God doesn't want you to know things. I want you to be smart. God doesn't want you to be smart. God wants to hide things from you as your father, but I want to be your father and I want to give you things. And so Eve ate and then Adam ate. And by virtue of doing that, service to the devil happened. And now a whole race of mankind and sinners are born into sin now. And our natures are just like the natures of Adam and all that. So the devil was trying to and is currently trying to steal glory from God, and that's his goal. That's how he operates. He believes that physical attributes are credentials, if that makes sense. Hollywood, that's the mentality. Physical attributes are credentials. That means if you're smart, I mean if you look good, then you must be wise, you must be intelligent, you must have credibility, you must have these things. That's the world's philosophy, because that's the devil's philosophy. That was his philosophy before he fell. So how does he accomplish all this stuff? Well, you see it with Jesus Christ. He shows him the glory of the kingdoms. So as I'll give you this, look in 1 John, a place you know pretty well, I'm sure. We've seen it a couple times here. 1 John chapter 2. How does he accomplish this goal? How is devil worship accomplished? And I say that intentionally, because you and I don't think of it that way. But when you invest in the devil's system, that's all he's trying to get you to do, is get you invested in his system so you can't serve God. How does he do it? All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see that? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We're on the lust of the eyes part. These are the avenues and the ways, the channels through which the devil gets worship from mankind. He shows him pictures. He tries to feed the flesh. He pumps man up. And this is the way the devil gets the glory that's due to God, the worship that's due to God. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you've got three avenues there. The devil's just trying to get in one of these, lust of the eyes, trying to get an image into the mind of a soul. And if he can get that image in there and get you to believe that image the way he believes it, or get you to understand or to think about that image the way he wants you to think about it, then he can get your resources. And he can get resources that would otherwise go to God. He can get those resources. And so he puts an image out there, and we watch things. And I mean, it is... It's no wonder Paul said this. He said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. And he talks about covetousness. And he said, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's idols. Images. Look in, I'll give you a couple more places. Look in Joshua chapter 7. The idea is to get the image in front of you. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. You know, he shows Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he usually doesn't have to show us that much. We don't need to see that much, and we're in. We're hooked. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. So the Israelites go into the promised land, or they're getting ready to go in the promised land, and they're told, don't take anything but Achan. Joshua chapter 7, verse 20 says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them. See how that started? When I saw the image of them, when I saw them, then something happened in me and I wanted them. So the devil doesn't have to create the want. He just has to put the image there. Just put the image out there. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Now, if you know the story, Joshua can't move forward anywhere because there's sin in the camp and nobody knows where the sin is. And apparently, Achan is the guy where the sin is. And the sin was, he saw something that he wanted. Or put it this way, he saw something and because he saw it, he wanted it. And when he wanted it, he went after it. And when he went after it, he brought sin into the camp so that God was no longer able to do what he was going to do with the Israelites. And so Joshua is begging God, what do we do? What do we do? And he says, the Lord says, get up off your knees. There's sin in the camp. The problem is you've got sin and there's no way to move forward. I can't move forward with sin in the camp here. So how does the devil accomplish this thing? There's covetousness. He puts the image in front of the eyes of a soul. And that through that image, desire is created. And through that desire, people are willing to give up resources that they would otherwise give to God. Now they give over to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Paul said this, that verse I was mentioning a while ago. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I saw it, I coveted it, and then I went after it. And in going after it, I gave up resources that would have otherwise been used for God's glory, were fully invested now in what the devil wanted me to invest in. So, most of us today, you probably go home after church, and you'll sit in front of a screen that every few minutes will give you another image of something new. I mean, this is new. And it's not just, I want this thing, it's the next thing. I want the next thing. I want the next truck. I want this next thing. And that cycle is endless until all the resources are eat up. And not only are all the resources eat up, but all the resources are devoted. There's not going to be a way to serve God if you wanted to serve God until you stop investing in the things the devil wants you to invest in. So go home, we'll sit in front of a screen that will show us every minute, every 2 minutes, every 3 minutes, more images of more things that we could have if we just give this little bit. If we just give this little bit. Here's another image, here's another image, here's another image, here's another image, here's another image. And I say that trying to get you to think about things in a different way. We think about idolatry and things like that. Well, that's all the heathen in Africa and whatever else, how we think of it. And you don't think of covetousness as idolatry, where I saw something and I wanted it. And because I wanted it, I devoted resources that would otherwise go to God to a system that will not satisfy me, it will not fulfill me. And once I get this thing, I'll want the next thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is constantly, listen, make investments that are good investments, that will last. Quit tying up your resources with something that's not going to last. Invest in something that will matter. Invest in kingdom work. And so, thank God, Jesus Christ, when he's shown all this stuff, shown the glories of the kingdoms, he tells the devil, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Back over in Matthew, we'll wrap it up with this. Jesus Christ's answer is this. Verse 10, Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So, a couple thoughts on that. The devil doesn't leave because he's scared of Jesus Christ. The devil leaves because all his avenues of attack have been cut off. There's no other way to get to Jesus Christ. He tried lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. None of that worked. He doesn't have another attack scheme, and so he leaves for a while. He's made his charge. He's made his advance. He's made his attack on the Son of God, and he can't get in. He can't turn his heart any other way. Jesus Christ's heart is set to serve God. And thank God it is. Thank God. Well, the devil quoted scripture too is the thing. Right. He gives him, and what Laura said, the scripture is the thing that provides the defense. The scripture is the thing that provides the defense. So Jesus Christ quotes some scripture, and that is the defense to what the devil's attacks are. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And once he's mounted that charge, and all of that thing has been thwarted, with Jesus Christ starving for 40 days and now winning back what Adam lost in a paradise. Now, Jesus Christ, the angels come, they feed him, and the devil goes away because he has no other way of attack. Lust of the eyes don't work. I mean, that was the biggest, he showed him everything he could show him. And he didn't bite. He wasn't interested. He tried to feed him. He tried to get him to eat. Lust of the flesh. He wasn't going to do it. He would starve to death if God the Father wanted him to starve to death. He's just going to do that. He wasn't going to bow down to the devil. He wasn't going to jump off and prove who he was to the devil. Especially from some misquoted verses and some bad timing there. Now, the thing is, and Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. He isn't in this situation. And the temptation is, hey, go ahead and become king. I'll give you the kingdoms if you'll just serve me with the resources. So, temptation of Jesus Christ, the last one, the lust of the eyes. So he tries to get into him through the eyes, try to create a desire in there, and through that desire he will steal the resources that are devoted to God, but he can't get in there with Jesus Christ. But you think about it in our own lives. I mean, that's how we don't have to be shown all that stuff. We much sooner than that. We don't have to be shown all the glories. We just get shown a few things, and we're like, yeah, I'm in on that. I'll devote that. I'll devote those years. I'll give you my overtime. I'll give you this. I'll give you a few years of my life for that. Yeah, I'll spend time paying that off. And then the opportunity comes to serve God, and there's no way to do it. I can't do it. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. My family's eat up. I don't have any way of doing this anymore. So the lust of the eyes. If you're obtaining things, the lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. That's how he's getting in. Does that make sense? So if he can't get in, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, he can't get in.